Okay, the boy side. Today's daf is daf Chav Beis. We're holding at 10 lines from the top of the Amid, where the Gemara begins, Eis Ve'Abaye. Now we're in the middle of a sugya, so let's remember what we were dealing with. We turn back to Chav Aleph Amid Beis. That's 21b, the final Mishnah on the Amid. Let's take a quick look at the Mishnah. Shloisha Dvarim Ram Gamliel Machmer Kedibur Beis Shammai. There were three halachas that Ram Gamliel was Machmer, like Beis Shammai. Even though Ram Gamliel was from the Beis Hillel, nevertheless, in three ways, in three halachas, he agreed to the chumris of Beis Shammai. Number one, Ein Toimin Esachamin, that you cannot go and be matmin. Mat means to insulate the food from Yontif to Shabbos. And then there were two other halachas as well. We'll focus on those a little bit later. And immediately the Gemara asked, what? You couldn't do Hatmonas Chamin? What is it talking about? Look in the bottom of the Amud right after the Mishnah. Hey Chidami. Idi Anach Eruv Tavshilin. If there was an Eruv Tavshilin, just like you're allowed to cook and you're allowed to bake from Yontif to Shabbos, you could also be Matmin. You could do Hatmona. Insulate the foods. So my time at the Beis Shammai, why would Beis Shammai hold that it's Aser? The Idi Loy Anach Eruv Tavshilin. And if you're talking about that he did not put away an Eruv Tavshilin, my time of the Beis Hillel, why would Beis Hillel say that it's mutter? In other words, memanifshach, manishtana. Why is hatmana special and singled out in the Mishnah that according to Beis Shammai you cannot be matmin, and according to Beis Hillel you can be matmin if you have an eruv tavshilin? Everybody should agree you can be matmin, and if you have no eruv tavshilin, everybody should agree you cannot be matmin. Where is the machlokes? And the Gemara gave one answer, Amar Afuna, which we spoke about in the prior shir. And then we gave a second teretz here on the top of Chav Beis Amud Aleph. That was a teretz that started seven lines from the top. Rava Omar Lo'olam Shehiniach. He did put away an Erev Tavshilin. Shaniat Mona Demuchacha Milza Diadaita Deshabata Ka'ovit. What Rava says is that Hatmona is a different animal, if you will, than either Afia, baking, or Bishul, cooking. In which respect? Now remember, how does an Erev Tavshilin work? You don't put the Erev Tavshilin on Yontif, you do it on Erev Yontif. And by cooking already on Erev Yontif, and putting away one of the things that you cooked, or baking on Erev Yontif and you put away one of the things that you baked, when you continue now on Yontif to cook and to bake for Shabbos, it doesn't look like you're preparing from Yontif to Shabbos. It looks like you are continuing the food that you started preparing on Erev Yontif. It's just an extension, a continuation, because you already started cooking and baking. But typically people are not matmen, they don't insulate their foods during the week. You only insulate foods from Yontif to Shabbos. There would be no need to go and insulate your foods on Yontif, because if you want your food to stay hot or to become hot, you put on a flame and you cook it and you put it, you know, to heat. So you put on the heat, you put on the flame. You turn on the either you turn on the flame on your stove, or nowadays you put it into a microwave. But in the good old days, it would just put on the flame. So therefore, the Gemara is asking, I don't understand what's going on over here. So Zokti Gemara, there's a difference, therefore, between Afiyah and Bishul and Hatmana. Afiyah and Bishul, as we just said a moment ago, that's a continuation. Hatmana, people typically are not matmin from Thursday to Friday. Thursday, remember, Friday is Yom Tov over here, and that's why we're making the Erev Tavshilin on Thursday. So says our Gemara, Rav Amar Lo'olam Shehiniach, he put away an Erev Tavshilin. And that Erev Tavshilin helps to be able to cook. It helps to be able to bake, because you're cooking and baking on Yontif. Looks like you're just continuing the cooking and baking from Erev Yontif, and you're not making hachana from Yontif directly to Shabbos. However, Shani Hatmana, the Mucham Milta Dadai to the Shabbat of Kovid. When you go and do Hatmana by being matmin something on Yontif for Shabbos, Kuli Alamoida, that looks like a real McCoy that you're being Mechin from Yontif to Shabbos. So even though you put away an Erev Tavshilin, it does not help. Erev Tavshilin doesn't help for Hatmana according to Beis Shammai. That was Rava's answer. Eisvi Abaya. Abaya says it's not true. I'll show you. Beis Shammai himself says that you can make an Erev Tavshilin for Hatmana. How? Zokta Braisa Chananya Oimer. Chananya says the name of Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai Oimer. Ein Oifen El Imkein Erev Bepas. Vein Mevashem El Imkein Erev Betavshil. Vein Toinen El Imkein Oile Chamed Tmunim Erev Yontif. So what Zokta Chananya? If you remember back on Tes Vav Amid Beis, when we began our Perek, and we spoke about the inyan of Eruv Tavshilin, we had a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai says you have to put away two Tavshilin, and Beis Hillel says you have to put away one Tavshil. Nobody spoke about putting away anything for afia, for baking. No one said anything about putting away for hatmana. Chananya says that according to Beis Shammai, you have to have one representative from Erev Yontif for whatever you're going to use on Yontif to Shabbos. So if you want to bake from Yontif to Shabbos, put away a bukala, put away a matzah from Erev Yontif. You want to be able to cook on Yontif for Shabbos, put away a cooked egg, put away a piece of fish, whatever. You want to be matnin, then you have to go and insulate already foods from Thursday to Friday. Even though most people will look, why are you insulating the foods? You're putting you're putting on blankets, and you're putting on heavy towels on top of soup pots to keep them hot. Why are you doing that? It's all so that you should be able to continue that on Yontif for Shabbos. So, says Chananya, Nim Bishamai, you can't bake unless you put away an Dover Ofui. You can't go and cook unless you put away a tafshul. You cannot put away hatmana unless you were tomein already from before. That's the end of the brayse. Sigmor is medayik. Ha yuloi chamin tmunin miya oven. But if you did have chamin tmunin, then you can. The yava gavnim ucham milta that day to the Shabbos ka'oven. Even though it's crystal clear that when Friday afternoon before night, you're going to go and start putting on all of your blankets on top of the chulin pot or top of the soup pot, everybody will recognize, I know why you're doing that. You're doing that so that you should be able to go and have hot food on Shabbos. So it's muchach that it's for Shabbos. Rava said no, that according to Beis Shammai, you're not going to have hot mana, even if you were matnin from before, because it's crystal clear that you're preparing for me onto the Shabbos, and the Eid of Tavshim doesn't help. So l'choyav b'feirish b'raisa, not like Rava, and therefore Elam Avaya. I have a new pshat in the Mishnah. You're going to eat of lezeh, for like eat of lezeh. Chananya yivaliv de Beis Shammai. Ah, Avaya gives a very easy answer. Avaya says that every eight of Tavshilin has multiple components. If you only intend cooking, you only need the cooked item, right? If you Your wife is not a baker, you're not a baker, you buy all your chalas, all you're going to do is you're going to cook from Yontif to Shabbos, put away a dover tapshu. If you only are going to go and bake, put away a piece of pas. And if you're going to do atmana, you got to be matman. Says Abai, it's talking about a case where they put away a pas, they put away a tapshu, but they weren't matman anything. And according to Chananya, according to Beis Shammai, if you weren't matmin, ain't omnin. Says our Mishnah, Dam Gamliel agreed to this psak of Beis Shammai in accordance with Chananya's interpretation of Beis Shammai. And with that, we've concluded the first of the three chumras that Ram Gamliel took upon himself. Now, if we go back to the Mishnah, the second chumra was, Dein Zoikvin es ha-menoyre biyontif. Zoikvin means to go and stand up the menorah on Yontif. Rashi in the Mishnah said, it's mashma, that it's talking about that the menorah somehow fell down. And the Mishnah says, you cannot go and pick it up again and reestablish it. Talk to you, Mark. Back in Chof Beis Amid Aleph, Mike of it. What's the problem? The menorah fell down, you pick it up. Well, what's, you know? Amar of Chidda Bar Bisna, Hachem menorah shel Chulias Askinen. Oh, it's talking about a menorah that's made out of components, out of parts. Like the children have these Lego toys that you put the parts together. You put together the menorah by putting in a Lego piece here and there, a branch here and top and bottom. You put them all together, you snap them. So what's the issue? To Mexican Boyne. It looks like you're building a brand new menorah by putting together all these chulias. The Beis Shammai Sabra, Yesh Binyan Bekelim, and Yesh Stira Bekelim, that the two melachas that you have among the Lamates melachas of Bona V'Soser, building and dismantling, apply not only to buildings, but even to Kelim. And that's why I got a problem over here. No such thing. There's no such din. Says our mission, Ram Gamliel was machmer like Beis Shammai. And that's the end of the shtichut. Just want to point out that Rashi adds something very, very important. Rashi adds one word, and based on that, he learns a totally different shot. Not totally different, but in many ways different. You look at Rashi, second line from the top. The menorah fell down. All the Lego pieces of the menorah fell apart. According to Beis Shammai, Yesh Toiras Binyan Mekelim. Notice he doesn't say Yesh Binyan. Yesh Toiras Binyan Mekelim. Uboina Chai Bekolshu. Any type of boina, even if you just put together two pieces, I was already building or rebuilding the menorah. But Beis Shammai says Ein Toiras Binyan Mekelim. What does that mean? Ve'enoi Chayiv. The only time you're going to be chayv binyan bekelim if you did something in addition to putting together the pieces. Kigoin, memachik, oy mechatech, oy oireg, otoifer, shein oves malachas liatzman. You had to do something more than just put together the pieces. Like memachik would mean to go and plaster them. Today we would think of gluing them together. Then you got a possibility of binyan mekelim. Aval chazoris chulyos she'ein bo elam isham binyan. Binyan alone ein boina elam abatim leihalim. So if you're just putting together the components of the menorah so that they should fit together as one, no such thing as binyan mekelim. However, if you shmir it, you put some plaster on, you put some glue on, oh, that's already a different story. But then you're not chayv al boina. Then you chai because of those malachas, because of memachik. Memachik means to go and shmir. Chatach means to go and cut. Oirig, of course, means to go and weave. Toifah means to go and sew. And so on and so forth. Anyway, so bottom line is, getting back to our Gemara, even according to Beisil, you could have an isser of putting together the pieces of the chulyos of a menorah, but not als binyan, but als something else. If you plastered them together, you'd have a chiyuv mamachik. If you had to cut them to size to put them back together, then you'd be over mechatech, and so on and so forth. Okay, at this point, you could put two dots in the Gemara, and the Gemara is now going off on a tangent. Since we spoke about sekifas menorah, standing up the menorah, now we're going to go into other halachas unrelated to our Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Ula iklaver of Yehuda, kam shamei, Zokif lo lishraga. We had here, for instance, the Shabbos candles or Yom Tov candles, and the candles weren't straight up, but rather the wicks were sticking out from the front because the cups in which you had the oil were leaning on the side. No, it was very artistic. It wasn't coming straight up. These were kind of flat, leaning types of slanty types of cups, where the wick was there and they had the oil and it was burning very nicely. What happened was, says the Gemara, that the Shamis, Zokav Lelishrag, he took those cups, which were previously slanty, almost horizontal, and he made them now vertical, standing up. As a result, the oil that was previously the nice fuel supply for these wicks now fell to the bottom, and as a result, the candle or the wick is likely to go out in a very short course. Now the Choyer have a problem, that he is causing kibui, he's causing the extinguishing of the flame. So when Rav Yehuda saw that the Shamas of Ula did that, Rav Yehuda said to Ula, I don't understand. We learned that Noisin Shem v'ner chai mishem mavir, if you add Shemen to a ner on Shabbos, you are over on the Isra of Mavir that you're causing new flames, even though at the moment nothing's happening. But if the Shemen in the Nair was only going to last for 10 minutes and you're adding more Shemen, then guess what? It's going to last now for 20 minutes or half an hour or longer. So you're over on Mavir. What happens if you remove some of the Shemen from the from the cup. Why did you take some? A mistapik yumena means he took some of the oil to use echlais for salad dressing, or to go and dip your challah into the oil, or whatever. Chai mishim mechaba. Then you chai because your mechaba, you are extinguishing the flame by taking some of the oil out. See, here too, if you're going to stand up the shraga, and the oil is going to fall to the bottom, then the wick is not going to have that direct supply of oil like it had until now. So the chayit should be asur. So Ula, how did you let your shamus do that? Amalei lavatatoi. It didn't occur to me. Rashi says, Osa shamus hazeh masha osa. You know, I wasn't even looking. He didn't ask any questions. He did this on his own. So it's not my fault. Don't look at me. In fact, had I known, I would have stopped him. But I didn't realize. I didn't know. So, it's tak osa. On the surface, the reason why it's osur is because of what we call gram kibui. Gram kibui means because he is causing that this light, these wicks, will go out earlier than they would have gone out otherwise. Gram kibui. And that's what the Rosh says, and that's the Isra over here, gram kibui. However, Toysis disagrees, and Toysis says gram kibui is only a grama, you're only causing it. And that alone would not be a reason to go and aser it. The reason that it asers, says Toysis, is because that when you remove some of the shemen, automatically at this moment, as you're removing the shemen, the oil of the wick will no longer light or shine as brightly as it had a moment ago when it had more oil. See, if you look at the third Toysis, Hamastapi Menachai Mishem Chabet. It's not because by taking out some of the oil, or in the case of Ula Shamus, by standing up the cup, it's going to cause the wick to go out more quickly. So we have a gram kibui. A gram kibui onto the shari. It's only a gram. It's a grama. Grama means it's only causation. He's not actually being mechab. Alpha bishma meyer kibuya. Even though he makes it happen more quickly, but it's only a gram. On Shabbos, he also would not be mechuyev min ha-toyre. Ela hayne tayim ma-hoyel de-ba'oyis ish-shoshu mistapik mimenu, when he takes away some of the oil, mechabek tas u-mechasa oiroi. The oil that had been emanating until now will not light as brightly as it was until now. T'le-yochel an-huri kulihai ki ikas shemen mu'et b'ner. It's not going to shine with that same brilliance as if there was shemen inside the ner, because there's much less shemen now.
Rabbi, the article brings the Rosh to disagrees with Tosfos and says that removing the oil is also prohibited because it makes it go out sooner.
Absolutely. I thank you, David. Before we mentioned the Tosfos, we mentioned the Rosh, that the Rosh learns Pshat and the Gemara because of Gram Kibui. Just the fact that this light is going to go out 10 minutes earlier or half an hour earlier, that in itself is already asur. However, Toysis says that's only a grama, that's only causing. And so therefore that would not be a reason to have this prohibited. But rather it's because at the very moment that you're taking some of the shemen out, there is a slight extinguishing of the light that was lit, because it won't light as brightly as it was until now. That's what Toysis says. Toysis says that there's a nafkimina between these two reasons, and that's a beautiful, brilliant nafkimina. What would be the nafkimina? What happens if you have, for instance, a candle, and you cut off the bottom of the candle? The candle until now was a 3-hour candle. You cut off part of it, it's only going to be a 2-hour candle, or a 1-hour candle. Clearly that's gram kibui. According to Rosh, it's awesome. According to Toysis, gram kibui is mutter. What about the fact that the lighting is going to be less brilliant than before? If you cut over the bottom of the candle, the bottom of the candle had nothing to do with the light at the top. So therefore, l'choyre, that should be permissible. So Toysis discusses that. You see, l'chachnira, continued the Toysis, v'kan yish l'hatter, candela, a candle, shoshav g'doyla, l'achtech l'mat mimena, kim shosh choyte choyse, ena makrish mo'or shalok, al, even though it's goyrem, l'gram kim. Anyway, so Machloik is what's the reason of the Gemara, whether it's Gram Kibui, or whether it's because at this moment that I take some of the Shaman, I'm already causing the dimming of the light of the Neh. Obviously, you see from all of this, there's nothing to do with our Mishnah. But since our Mishnah was talking about standing up the Menorah, here we're talking about standing up the cups of Shemen and causing that there'll be less oil to light up or to fuel these wicks. Getting back to the Gemara. Amar Rav. Rav says, Kanva Ishari. What's mean Kanva? Rashi says Kanva means to be morate. Actually, to be mochet, limchot, roisha, psila, shenasa, pecha. Whenever you have a wick that has been used for Hanukkah, for Shabbos, or whatever, you'll see that the top of the wick has on it pecha. Pecha means like charcoal, whatever those the residue of the burning wick, and so that the wick should go and work effectively for the next light, you would typically trim it a little bit, take off the top, so that would be a nice, beautiful wick again. That trimming of the top of the wick on Yom Tov Ishari is mutter, because you're preparing to go and light it. So that's okay. Now the Gemara asks the following shayla. Boy minei abba bar mar to be abaye. Mao lichbois, or lichabois is aner mepnei dover acher. On Yom Tov, a person wants to go and extinguish the flame because of dover acher. Now the Gemara doesn't say what dover acher is, but Rashi tells us dover acher means tashmish hamita. And the reason why the Gemara uses the expression dover acher, because as we know, the Gemara is very, very careful to try to speak in the most genteel fashion whatsoever, never to go and say anything that would look grotesque or look nefarious or negative. The Gemara always tries to speak in a very beautiful sprach, and that's why it uses the expression in dover acher. I'm sorry?
Refined language.
Thank you, refined language. Shkoyach, Brother Shai, and a good moyer to you. So Zok the Gemara. That's what the Shai of the Abba Marta posed to Abaye. So Omaloi, so Abaye said, what's your Shai? You know, if this house or if this room has in there, go into another room. So he said, all the other rooms are taken, there is no other room. So my. So he said, "Efshalasa lemachitza." I'll put up a machitza, and you know, so that the light doesn't penetrate, and you have a machitza. Ain't lasa machitza. He doesn't have any blankets left, no more sheets left. They're kaddish. My, so what do? Efshalichboys alav is a kli. Go and take a kli that has holes in it. Not that you're going to extinguish the flame by putting the kli on, because otherwise, that was his question. Can I go and put on a kli? I'm going to extinguish it. No, don't put the kli on. Put on a kli that has holes, and so therefore it continues to be oxygenated, so you don't have to worry about the flame going out, but this way it'll be covered over, and you'll be able to engage in Tashmish Hamita. He says, good, but ain't my kli, I don't have such a perforated kli, what do I do? Amalei, if that's the case, your only eitza is to go and be mechaber in there, it's osur, you're not allowed to do kibui on Yom Tov. You're allowed to do havara, you're allowed to go and put up a fire because you want to go and cook, or because it's cold, you can put up a medura of esh to go and heat up the whole body. That you can do, but to go and turn it off, to go and be mechaba, that is awesome. Frank Mora Eisvei, he's now asking from a halacha, a braisa, legabi hilchoi Shabbos. Vushtet in Shabbos. So Tisefta. Ein mechaba nes abekas, kedei lochas oleha. What happens if you have bekas? Bekas means a log of wood which is on fire. It's in part of a bonfire. And now the bonfire is already done in terms of what I need for Yom Tov. For instance, I needed to roast marshmallows. All the marshmallows have been roasted. I needed to go and roast some hamburgers and franks. All of those have been roasted. I've already sang all the nugunim that we're going to sing. And everybody's ready to go home. Can I go and blow out, can I extinguish the flame of the bekas of the log? Can I lochus aleha because I have rachmanis on the log? It's not really that I have rachmanis on the log. I have rachmanis on my own pocketbook that I shouldn't have to go and start with a brand new log for the next bonfire. I can use this used log. Am I allowed to do that? Says the braisa, no, ein mechat. However, if as a result of this bonfire, unfortunately, there's a lot of smoke in the house, and therefore it's a tzorech Yom Tov to get that smoke out. And the easiest way to get the smoke out is by putting out the fire. Or if the food is going to spoil as a result of this tremendous heat, then you're allowed to. So what do I see from this mutter? Mishvushli is ashen abayis. If it's a tzorech yomtiv, because it's just too much smoke, then I'm allowed to put it out. So, similarly, Freiti Mara, I have a tzorech, a husband wants to live with his wife, and that's also a tzorech yomtiv. He wants to be mekayim ona, he wants to be mekayim the inyan of this simchas isha, so it's also a tzorech. So why did he paskin, you're not allowed to go and put out the flame? Because of the tzorech of tashmish, and yet legabe, the tzorech of shlo yis'ash and abayis, it's too much smoke. There it's mutter. Amalei said, don't bring me a rye from that brisa. He, Rabbi Yehuda, he. That goes according to Rabbi Yehuda. Ki kamina, no, the Rabbanan, I'm talking according to the Rabbanan. Now, who are Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan? That's going to be a mishnah later on in Mi'at Hashem Rabbi Yisai, towards the end of the Masechta. In fact, it's almost all the way at the end. It's on, oh, not that much at the end. It's on Daf Chof Ches Amid Beis. And both of them darish in the same pasuk that we've been talking about for the last few days. It says, Ach ashei ochel l'chol nefesh, hu levad yeyosel l'chem. And the way Reb Yehuda darshens l'chem, he says, l'chem l'chol tzorcheichem, anything and everything. Meaning, it's not just a din in ochel nefesh, ach ashei ochel l'chol nefesh, ach ochel nefesh, no. Hu levad yeyosel l'chem, l'chem means l'chol tzorcheichem, anything and everything. So that would include, if I have too much smoke, I can put out the fire to get rid of the smoke. However, the Chachamim respectfully disagree, and the Chachamim say, no, hu levado yeyosel lechem, levado only oichel nefesh, nothing else, only oichel nefesh. And therefore, they would disagree in the case of yis'ash and abayis, if there's too much smoke, then leave the house, go somewhere else, go outside if there's too much smoke, but you can't put out the fire, as well as you have a problem that you can't be mishamish mita because you have the flame there. Sorry, nothing I can do about it. You cannot be mechabit, you can't go and extinguish it. Now this teretz, that is in machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon, the Gemara is going to use it another two times on our omit to answer other similarly based kashas. So Gemara says, boi minei abai mirabba, mal lechabis is hadloka the yontif. What happens, Nebuch, your whole fire is up in smoke, it's all up in flames. Are you allowed to go and extinguish the flames? So, if this chas v'shalom, sakonas v'fosha, somebody might be sleeping in a back bedroom and you don't even know, then of course you're allowed to extinguish the flames. Kuch nafesh, filu v'shal v'shari. That's no shayla. Ki kabi boili mishum ibn mamin mai. Nobody's home, everybody's away. So the only problem is that I'm going to lose Nebuch all my possessions. I don't have insurance. I'm going to lose a fortune. Are you allowed to go mi mechaba on Yontif? Amalei asur, no, you're not allowed to. Unfortunately, you have to lose your money. Kodesh Baruch Hu will somehow repay you. Frankti Mara Esve, you're telling me I can't go and put out the flames when all of my possessions are going up in flames. Esve, ein mechaba zimkazgirei lochus aleh. Vimishru shul yisashin abai yisai gedein amutter. What happens if, not that the whole house is going up in flames, the whole house just has a bunch of smoke. It says that's already enough of a reason to go and put out the flames. It's a madach if it's because of the smoke you're allowed to go and put it out. Certainly, Allah has come v'kama, if there's a fire that's taking the whole house, and the whole house is going up in smoke, then certainly you should be able to go and put the fire out. And again, the Gemara gives the same teretz. Ahi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, Lechem, lechol tzorcheichem. You're allowed to go and put out the flames if, unfortunately, there's too much smoke. And certainly, Allah has come v'kama. If you're going to lose your whole house, yes, you can put out the flames. However, ki kamina, no, it's according to Rabbanan. Rabbanan hold, hu levada yiyos lechem, only oichel nefesh and nothing else. Boy minei ravashi mi'ameima, mal likhol esa'ayin b'yontif. What happens if a person has nebuch a problem, some sort of disease in his eye, and he wants to know, can we go and apply some sort of ointment on his eye as a refuah? On Yontif. As we know, all inyan and refuah on Yontif are always problematic because of the inyan of Shechika Samamana. Ezokti Bar, Echadika Sakana. If we're talking about Sakana, not Sakana is the fosh, it's mamish, but a Sakana for the eye, that the eye, Chas Hashem, could be lost, his vision could be lost. Kigoin, Rira, Ditsa, Dama, Demasavik, and Chasa. All of those are terrible eye diseases. Utchilis Oichlan, it's the beginning of the disease. And Chas Hashem, if you don't treat it immediately, it could be fatal. Now, it's not only fatal for the eyes. Rashi says, based on the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, that Shuraina the Eina be Ubnisa the Liba Tolu. That means that there's some sort of connection between the eyes and the heart. What Rashi seems to be suggesting is, it's not just a question of loss of vision. If you lose your eyes, Chas Hashem, there could be some permanent heart damage as well. Anyway, like by the Avada, Philip Shabashari, Avada it's what? Kikamiboyli, where my Shaila is, Soif Ochla. Soif Ochla means it's already at the tail end of treating this terrible disease, where he's had this disease already now for the last, I don't know, week. And every single day he's been taking antibiotics and putting on the shmirachs and the ointments, and now it's the final day, and Baruch Hashem, it's almost done. He could theoretically wait until after Yontif, but he wants to already improve the vision now on Yontif itself. Is he allowed to apply that ointment on Yontif? My, Amalei told the Maser, you're not allowed to, because it's refuah. And anything involving refuah is also. And it's not a sakana over here. You're almost done. It's 95% already healed. So if you want to say, it's a bikas. You're not allowed to go and put out the bikas just to hold on to it. But you're allowed to go and put out in case there's a tzorech of yontif. What's the tzorech of yontif? If, for instance, if there's huge ishun means smoke, which is smoking out the whole house, you're allowed to go and put out the fire. Didn't you just say a moment ago that Tzorech Yontif plays no role? Also, you're not allowed to go and help out the vision out Tzorech Yontif. But here you're allowed to go and put out the flames because of the smoke on Yontif. And we give the same teretz as before, once again, that braisa that says that you're allowed to put out the flames because of the smoke that's going aliba to Rabbi Yehuda. What does Rabbi Yehuda hold? Rabbi Yehuda holds that lechem l'chol tzarchechem, but the psak that he gave in answering that you cannot put on that final ointment on the yontif or on Shabbos, the reason why it's aser is because we paskin like the Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan holds hu levade yosel lechem levade only for oichel nefesh and no other tzarech. Pray to Yimar, Ameymar, Zok to Yimar. A maimer permitted a person who had an eye illness or ailment to have a goy go and apply whatever medicines, because after all, the goy is doing it and not me. So you can go and have the goy put on the ointment on Shabbos. Only Rav Asher Ameimer, my daitach. Oh, I'm sorry. Ikriyami, another version. Not that Amemer paskind shorel mikol eina, but Amemer gufei, Amemer himself kochel eina minocher b'shabbat. He himself had a problem with his eyes. He went to the doctor or the PA or a nurse, and that person was a Gentile, and he or she applied the ointment on Shabbos. Oh, sounds like it's okay. Yes.
Excuse me. We're learning Shabbos. If a guy comes in and lights a fire, and it doesn't have an oil from the fire, you can't have an oil from it. Mm-hmm. And we have story which Shmuel left the room, and he saw that the guy opened a scroll. Mm-hmm. What an oil are they getting from applying the ointment on Shabbos here? And what benefit is there to allow this to happen? If that's the halacha, what benefit is there that the nachri has to apply this ointment?
You're talking about the generic halacha of Amir la'akum. And you're right, that if the Akum has no Hanoah, and unless you say Beremiza, an Akum is not allowed to go and do Malacha for you on Shabbos or Yom Tov. You're correct. Here we're talking about a different Inyan. Here we're talking about Refuah. Mitzad Adin, there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to go and apply Refuah on Shabbos or Yom Tov. It's only a Gzeira Mishom Shchika Samaman. If you're going to allow a person to go and take pills or apply ointments, you know what he's going to do? He's going to go and crush the original ingredients, and that's an Isser of Tochein. So because of that, Gzeira said the Chachamim, don't go and apply Refuahs on Shabbos or Yom Tov. However, if the one that's applying it is not the Jew, it's the Gentile, then the Chachamim are not Goyzer. The only Goyzer, if you yourself are Oseik, and then you might come to Shchika Samamanim. Worst comes to worst, the Goy will do Shchika Samamanim, but you didn't ask him to do it, he's doing it on his own. So therefore, that's why that case is different than the normal Amir la'akim case. Now this is what Amemer Paskin, or Amemer himself, had the Goy apply the ointment on Shabbos Yom Tov. Amir Rav Asher Amemer, my daitach, why did you say that it's permissible? Anything having to do with refuah, yes, you can ask a goy to do it. You don't have to do it beremes. There's no amir la'akum. You can have a goy apply, no problem. And the Omer of Amnuna, kol dovish ein boi sakana, if there's a sakana, even a Jew can do it, as we know. But the dovish ein boi sakana, oim anachri bi'oisa. So that's all very straightforward. So what's my problem? What was the kasha that Rav Ashi is asking? Bahani mili hechadolim esayeya ba'adei, when you're not helping out. If you've ever gone to an eye doctor, and I'm sure all of you have gone from time to time, so they have to go and put in all those drops in the eyes, and very often they'll say, can you help me hold on to the top lid or to the bottom, so that he puts the drops in the eyes. So you're being misayaya. If you're being misayaya, then it's as if you yourself are applying the medicine on Shabbos or Yom. Isn't that a problem? You're opening and closing and shutting the lids, and therefore you should be over. So Ameima responded, I want you to know, Rav Zvid already asked your kasha to me in the past. And now you are repeating that kasha. And I'll tell you what I answered him, and that's what I'm answering you. That misayeya ein boy mamish. Put the things aside. That's fleshes. That's milchik. Keep it one way from the other. Misayeya ein boy mamish. What means misayeya ein boy mamish? That it's not true that I'm helping, but that's not doesn't rise to the level of being over an isser. And Rashi, in fact, adds because what happens if the patient is not cooperative? The doctor or the nurse can still put in the drops. Instead of doing the drops one time, then they have to do it five times until it finally gets into the eye. But eventually it's going to get out. It's going to get into the eyes. So the Messiah, the fact that the person is helping out, that really has no halachic relevance, and it's not an issue. You see, look at the last Rashi. Messiah ain't by mamish. Misha ain't a oisa malocha mamish. Al Messiah amat. He's just helping a little bit. Kihai. Ubalavhu misabda. Even without him, even without the patient helping out, it would still go. Anyway, mamish is good as mitkush. So getting back to our Gemara, that's why it's not an issue. But now we have a related issue. Ameimer shorla mikol ena biyom v'sheni shor Rosh Hashanah. Ameimer even permitted a person to do the applying of this ointment on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Oh, Omer Rav Ashi Ameimer. Rav Ashi asked Ameimer, I got a problem. Biyomer Rava. We had this Gemara already earlier on at the beginning of the Masechta. If Chas Hashem, you have a mess on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, then you are not allowed to have a Jew be involved in the kavura of the mess. You have to go and ask Amam, and you have to go and ask Gentiles to go and bury the mess. If it's Yom Tov Sheni, the really second day of Yom Tov, it's asked by Yisrael that even Jewish Chevra Kadisha can go and do the burial. And not only on a regular Yom Tov Sheni Shal Goliyos, but Afil B'Shei Yom Tov B'Shei Rosh Hashanah, that's also permissible. And the reason why they permitted it, because even though the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah considered to be Kedusha Achasi, they differentiated between the first day and the second day because of this terrible need for the Kavod HaMes. As anybody knows, a mess of Chas Hashanah is not tended to, and is not put on ice or refrigerated or whatever, there will soon be a terrible, terrible stench, and therefore it'll be a real bizarre mess. So the first day you have no choice to give it to the goy. Second day, even the Jews can go and bury the mess. Okay, now that is really not relevant to our question. What is relevant is that the brisa continues on the top of the Amud Beis. Mash ain't came a beya. That's how we had it at the beginning of the Masechta, but the famous beya shenol de biyantif. What's it done by Beis Shanol de Biyantif? The first day of Yontif, it's Muktzah. You cannot go and eat it or take it or move it. Beis Shanol de Biyantif. What about the second day of Yontif? Second day of Yontif, it's Mutter. What about the second day of Yontif Sheni of Rosh Hashanah? Then it's Osir, Tap Rashi. The Kedusha Acha saying the 2 days of Yontif is like a Yoyim Avichta. Only by a mess. So therefore a bay is also the first day, it's also the second day. So if you agree with me, Ameimar, that a Jew is not allowed to apply the eye ointment on the first day of Yom Tov, you should agree with me that they cannot apply the ointment on the second day of Yom Tov, because the Kedusha Achasi, and you have no concern over here about Bizoin HaMess. There's no mess. So what's going on? Why is there a difference between the Beya and the smearing of the eyes? Amalei, so he told him, Anokin Erdoi Svirili, I hold like the Erdoi, Daf Amri, after Beya, it's also Mutter on the second day of Yontif. Just like Yontif Sheni Shel Golias. My Daitach, why do you disagree? Why do you hold that it's Kedusha Achasi? Well, Dima Ma'abri Leili Elul. Because maybe they're going to make an Elul extended. Now, what is this Elma Ober all about? So we learned this already in detail back on Daf Vav. But just to do a quick chazar. What happened was, in the good old days, when they used to go and declare the new Rosh Chodesh, they had two Edom come, and the two Edom would say, we saw the Levana up on the horizon, and then they would ask him a whole bunch of questions, how, where, when, what did you see? And then when the Bezin concluded that these Edom were Edom Ne'amanim, that they were truthful, they would say, Mekudesh HaChodesh. One time it happened that on Rosh Hashanah, the Edom only came Li'achar Mincha, Mena Mincha Ulamala. And by that time, they had already brought the Karban Tamid Shel Bein HaBoyim. And whenever they brought the Karban Tamid, the Levim had to sing a special shir, the Shir Shel Yoin. Now, since that day so far was just a regular, ordinary day, because the Edom had not come yet, they sang the Shir Shel Yoyim that you normally would sing on a regular Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or whatever the day was. And then the Edom came after the Tamid Shel Bein HaBoyim, right before night. And the Bezin said, you know what? These Edom are bona fide. Today is Rosh Hashanah. Uh-oh! We sang the wrong Shir Shel Yoyim. What can we do? So they made a special takana from that time on. They're never going to declare the same day as Rosh Hashanah, even if the Edom come after Mincha, and even if we test them, and even if we discuss and declare, even if we decide that these are Edom Nemanim, we're going to push off Rosh Hashanah till tomorrow. And therefore, Hayom Kodesh, Ulam Machar Kodesh. You'll have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. And this wasn't Bizman Hazeh, Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias. This is already in the times when the Beis Hamikdash was standing. Already then they had 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. So the chashash was that if the Edom come very late, the first day of Rosh Hashanah is going to be the Chodesh Mu'ubar, the 30th day of Elul, and the next day, that will be Rosh Hashanah Echad B'Tishrei. Zoktoth V'Gemara, that's a fascinating Gezeira and Takana, it's all great. However, Rav Chinna Bakahana said, that from the times of Ezra Ve'elech Le'imatzino Elam Over, we never ever had this situation where the Edom came in a Mincha L'mala, except for that one lone case which the Gemara brought, where as a result they goofed and they said the wrong Shir Shel Yoyim at the time of the Tamid Shel Bein HaHavoyim. Since this never happened ever again, so according to Ne'er Doi, the din of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Rosh Hashanah is no different than the Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias. So the first day, Taka, the Beya is Asur. But the second day of Rosh Hashanah, the Beya is Mutter. The first day, Mikchol Eina, to go and apply eye ointment would be Asur. But the second day would be Mutter. And that's the end of that shtickle.
But actually, can we say that's really
Ahad B'Tishrei and Sheni B'Tishrei? That's Bizman Hazeh. Bizman Hazeh that we have at all times 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. 2 days of Rosh Hashanah is Aleph Tishrei and Beis Tishrei. In those days, they made the final day when the Edom came in the Mincha L'mala. They said it's Chodesh Mu'ubar, it's Yom Lamed, but it has the status of Rosh Hashanah, similar to 2 days Rosh Chodesh that we have throughout the year. But throughout the year, whenever we have, let's say, 2 days, Rosh Chodesh Kislev, the first day is Lamed Cheshvin, and the second day is Aleph to Kislev. Rosh Hashanah, of course, that's not the case. Rosh Hashanah is always Aleph, Ubeis, Tishrei. Yeah. However, that original time when they said Hayom Kodesh and Lamachar Kodesh, even though they're only going to start counting the month and the year for Yom Kippur purposes, etc., from the second day. So that's the day of Aleph Tishrei. The first day was Lamed El. And that's what the Gemara is referring to over here, of Elul Ma'uber. And if you are having doubts about that, we can go back to Davvav. There was a Rashi over there that says that they only started counting for purposes of Yom Kippur from the second day and not from the first day. Let's go back to if you look back on Daf Vav Amid Aleph, you have the identical Gemara there at the top of the Amid. Amar Rava, this is 6a. Amar Rava, Meis be unto Rishon, Zachum Amamin, Meis be unto Sheni, etc. Now you look at the Rashi on the first narrow line. To Ma'abrile the Elul, Kitakana Rishona, Limnois Miyoim Sheni. We're going to make 2 days, but we're going to go and count Miyam Sheni. From the second day, we're going to go and start counting for purposes of establishing the Yom Tovim, when they begin, etc. Like for Yom Kippur and the rest. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara, the Gemara tells us that Ameim held like the Ne'edoi, and therefore Bey is only also the first day, not the second day, so therefore Mikchol Be'ena is only also the first day, not the second day. Now we go back to our Mishnah. The third thing that Ram Gamliel was machmer like the Beis Shammai. Remember, the first one was Hatmona. They didn't do Hatmona. The second thing was what we just had now. He didn't allow for rebuilding the Menorah that fell on the ground because of Binyan Bekalim. And the third thing is Vein Oifin Patin Gritzen Elarikikin. He didn't allow for your person to go and bake thick, heavy chalas, which are very, very thick and big, and they're kikim like wafers. In other words, like matzahs. And the one wants to know, Vusepis, what's going on? So first of all, we're going to go off a little bit on a tangent from Hilchos Yom Tov generally to Hilchos Pesach. And then we're going to come back to our Mishnah. Tana Rabbanan. Beishami Amram Ein Oifin Pas Ovin BePesach. When it comes Pesach time, don't make a thick batter, and therefore thick bread, even though you made sure to go and bake it very quickly, less than 18 minutes, it shouldn't rise. Nevertheless, I'm still noivis that it became chametz after all. Don't bake thick matzahs on Pesach. Beisil Matim, Beisil says it's okay. Freiti Mar Vekama Pasov, but can you tell me what's the shear of thick matzois, thick pas? Omravuna Tefach, Shekim Matzin Belechem upon him Tefach. We know that the lechem upon him every single Shabbos, even though we call it lechem, it was really matzahs. No different than matzahs and Pesach that we call lechem oni. It's bread, but it's poor man's bread. It's a wafer. It's a matzah. And we all know from Masechtas Menachos that kol ha-menachos bo'is matzah. Every mincha throughout the year in the Beis Hamikdash was matzah, with two exceptions. Barry's going to remind us, one exception was on Shavuos. Which was that?
Shavuos, the Shtei Lechem.
And number two is, every time you bring a carbon toida, that one out of the four lachmim, one of the four sets, has got to be chametz.
The volume of flour was chametz, but it was divided up into 10 to the 40 segments of lechem.
Excellent. But other than that, everything else was matzah. So therefore, lechem upon him every single week was matzah. And the height of the lechem upon him was a tefach. So just like the lechem upon him, the Beis Hamikdash was matzah, was a tefach. If you want to bake your own private matzahs at home for Pesach, no problem. Make it until a tefach. Freiti Gemara, how can you compare a private baker to the Beis Hamikdash? Maskel Rav Yosef. Im Omer Bezrizen. Normally we say Zrizen, we mean Kehanim's reason. Here Rashi says we're talking about the Beis Garmu. The Beis Garmu, the people that were in charge of baking the lechem upon him. You remember we learned back in previous Masechtas that one time the Chum were not happy with the Beis Garmu. They brought in bakers from Alexandria, Shem Mitzrayim, and they failed. They weren't able to replicate the beautiful lechem upon him of the Beis Garmu. So these were real professionals. So they made sure that it would remain matzah, not chometz. Yom Sheinim is reason. He can't compare it to the Beis Garmu. Imam Rabbi Pasameila means that the flour and the dough was pounded numerous times. If you look at Rashi, that when you do the batter, they would go and hit it 300 times, and they would, Rashi's expression, be'ita, to kick it. In other words, they would pound it with their hands and with their fists to get it down. If any of your wives ever bake chalas or bread or whatever, you know that it rises and then they go and push it down and then it goes up again and they press it down again. It happens several times. So in Beis Midrash, when they had the lechem upon them, they did this 300 times and 500 times with the hand and with the fist. Boy, that was well beaten, if you will, batter. Here, nobody does that, so it could easily become chametz. In Beis Midrash, they were very careful not to go and take any eitzim after Chamisha Usavot. In fact, that's one of the reasons that the Gemara gives at the end of Masechtas Tanis, because from that point on, all of the wood choppers would stop chopping wood, and they would all go back to the Beis Midrash to learn, because after Tesva B'Av, the dry season had ended, and we're afraid that future wood cuttings are going to be moist wood. So therefore, they were very careful. But Yom Ve'etzim Lachem, when I go and bake matzahs before Pesach in my house or at the matzah bakery, then there might be some moist eitzim there. It won't be such an intensive fire. Rashi says that the Tanner in the Beis Midrash was basically 24-7. It was constantly. If it wasn't 24-7, 24-6. If it wasn't the whole night, it was the whole day. It was constantly burning because they made in them carbon minchas and tzli eish for various karbanas. So the fire was very hot all the time. When you're baking matzah, so you're baking it today. It could be you haven't used this oven for a week. So how can you compare? The tanner in the Beis Midrash was made out of metal, so it gets red hot. You're most of the private tanurim outside the Beis Midrash were made out of kli cheres, out of earthenware, which didn't get so hot. So you can't compare. And therefore, says Imam of Yermi Bar Abba, Sha'ilis is Rebbe B'Yichud, I asked Rebbe, not referring to Rabbeinu HaKadosh, but referring to my Rebbe, B'Yichud, says Rashi, Tupshatim, either it means B'Yichud privately, in a private corner, nobody else heard the conversation, or another Pshatim, B'Yichud means B'Birur, he explained it clearly with such clarity. Now, who was my Rebbe that I asked B'Yichud? Umanu, that was Rav. So Rabbi Yirmiyahu Bar Abba says, I asked my Rebbe, meaning Rav. And I asked him, my Passover. When we learned the Braisa, remember the Braisa start on the fifth line, Beishami Oram Ein Oifim Passover. Now, we thought Passover means a thick bread, like a thick matzah. No. It's Pas Meruba. Pas Meruba means a very large volume of batter. They had a batter not just in a small kli. They filled up a whole bathtub full of batter. Huge bas meruba. That's what Beishamai answered. We'll see why in a moment. Ikri Amri is another version, not that Rabbi Yirmiyahu Bar Abba said She'elis is Rabbi, but Omer Rabbi Yirmiyahu Bar Abba Omer Rav She'elis is Rabbi B'Yichud. Now who is this Rabbi now? This Rabbi can't be Rav, because Rav himself said, I asked Rabbi. Oman Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Rav was a Talmud of Rabbeinu HaKadosh of Rabbi, and he asked Rabbi, my Passover means Passover, Pas Meruba, a very large volume of batter. For my curly a Passover, why is it called Passover? Mishin Efisha Melisha, because it's a large batter. That's how it got the name, Passover. Inami, another slightly different pshat, but asrei dehaitana pas meruba pas over karolei. That in fact, when you made a very large quantity of chalas, let's say you were baking 20 chalas, 50 chalas, 100 chalas at a time, or 100 matzahs at a time, he would call it pas over, not because that they were thick. They could have been the thinnest matzahs in the world, but because he made a large volume of lisha in that town, in that place where he lived, pas meruba. Large quantities of baking was called Passover. That was the name. Anyway, what is this all about? The problem, the machlokes between Beishami and Beisil is he's being toireach a tircha deloy tzarech on Yontif. So if you're mech, the mishnah mikatarach tircha deloy tzarechu. So therefore, the machlokes Beishami and Beisil. If we go back to the Tanur Rabbanan, Beishami omem ein oifim Passover bePesach. No longer talking about chametz. We're now talking about. Don't bake huge volume, huge quantities. Why? Because of Tircha Yaseira. And Rashi says the Tircha Yaseira is, you and your family can't possibly go and consume all of that today. Some of it's going to be left for tomorrow and the day after. So therefore you're preparing for Chayil. Even though you're saying you're doing it for Yontif, but by definition, such a huge batter, it's impossible to eat it all today. So, Frank Timur, if that's the machloikis, then this should apply to Sukkot as well, and Shavuos. Why are you only talking about Pesach? It's not a Pesach dikadin of Chomet. The Gemara in Echanan, you're 100% right. The Tana, the Yont of the Pesach Koi, when this Tana Rabbanim, when that Braisa was taught, when it was learned, they were learning Hilchais Pesach, and therefore they learned all the halachas that apply to Yontif as well, Lav Davka Pesach. And Takatan Amihachi, Beishami Om Enoifim Pasmuruba Be Yontif, not only on Pesach, also on Sukkis, also on Shavuos, Beisil Matirim. So now the Gemara doesn't bring us back to our Mishnah, but it appears that what the Gemara is telling us is that when we learned in our Mishnah, that Ram Gamliel was makvid like Beishamai, then Ein Oifim Paten Gritzin El Rekikin, we're not talking about thick bulkalach as opposed to thin wafers, but rather what he's talking about is large volume, small volume. If you're only going to bake enough for your family for today and another couple of challahs or whatever, that's okay. You may ikloy le'orchim, you can always bake a little bit more. But to go and bake huge quantities where in a million years nobody's going to go and eat up all of that stuff in one day. Obviously it's going to remain for the day later or whatever. Says Beishamai, that's a tichud le'tzarech, and therefore it's awesome. And Beisil says that it is mutter. What would be the svara of Beisil to say that it's mutter? You remember we had a few days ago in the Gemara, that the Gemara distinguished between cooking something in a large pot, putting in two chickens instead of one chicken. But the Gemara says that's obviously mutter, because there's no additional tircha of just dumping in a second chicken in the same chicken pot for chicken soup. Mashenkin, the Gabi baking, each thing is baked on its own. And then the Gemara said, another mandiyama said, no, even baking is permissible, because when you fill up the oven, then the product is much more gishmak than if you're just baking one or two challahs in the oven. One or two challahs is so much air out there, it doesn't bake so properly. But if you fill up the whole oven with challahs, then each one bakes much, much better. Anyway, that would seem to be the machlokes here between Beishamai and Beisil as well. And once again, Ram Gamliel was machmer like Beishamai. Now, just like we learned in the Mishnah that Ram Gamliel was machmer, says the Mishnah, Afu Omer Shloshet Dvarim L'Hakel. Three things he was makel. What were the things he was makel? Number one, Mechabdin Beis HaMitois. He allowed you to go and sweep in the dining room. I know Beis HaMitois sounds like the bedroom, but Rashi says the mitos we're talking about is mitos for Haseba, like we have on Pesach night, that you lean down. So people used to go and lean on beds. So you're allowed to be mechabdin, you're allowed to go and sweep up. Or menichah l'samug miyantav, you're allowed to also put on the incense on the coals so that you have a wonderful ear freshener. You could do that on yantav. V'oisin gdi mekulis, and you could also go and make when you prepare for night of Pesach, we're talking about post Chorban Habayis, people want to go and eat flesh at the Seder night, he would go and make a Gedi Mekulis, meaning he would take the entire goat, the Chad Gadya, or for that matter the entire Keves, the entire lamb, and he would go and cook it all as one, like the Torah says, Al Toichlim Mimenu No Uvoshel Mavushel Bamoyim Ki Im Tzliyesh Roishoy Al Kro'ov the Al Kirboy. So he went and baked it as one. Lahavdol, you see sometimes the pictures for Thanksgiving dinner, you see how they go and cook the large turkey all as one entity, and then afterwards they have to carve it up and serve it to the guests. Here too, they would go and cook it all at once. Losh Mekulis, as Rashi means, like weapons. That when you have a soldier, he has weapons on his sides, they put the Kirbo Yuchrov on the sides. Anyway, he permitted all of these three. V'chom oisim l'chachamim asa those three. Why did the chacham asa these three? So Rashi says, l'gabi mechabdin bayis because of, it's ashvuyei gumais. Ashvuyei gumais means that there might be, remember none of their floors were like our floors in modern day homes, which are made out of either wood floors or linoleum floors or carpeted floors or whatever. In the good old days it was dirt floors. So if you went and swept, there might have been a little bit of a pothole, and by sweeping, you're filling up the pothole, and that would be a tolda, possibly of bone. So the Chacham said, awesome. But the mugmar on Yontif, because mugmar, which is these special spices that you have to make the room really smell good, So that's not ochel nefesh. It's obviously you're not eating it. It is a tzorech of yontif for those that are finicky and love that type of stuff. But your average individual says, you're wasting your money. If I want to have fresh air, I go outside. I don't need to have this incense. So that's not a dober hashav l'chol nefesh. That's not a tzorech nefesh for everybody. It's asur. And the oisin, the third reason why Gdil Mekulis is asur, because it looks like a carbon, looks like somebody was maktish, a behema outside the base of Mekdish, and he's eating it as a carbon outside the base of Mekdish, and that's asur. Good. We're now going to focus on the second, about the Menichin es HaMugmar Biyantif. And as the Gemara is going to tell us, there were two purposes of putting incense on top of a flame at any time, not only Yantif, but throughout the week. Amar Ravasi. The machloikis in our mission between Tanakam and the Chachamim is machloikis legamer. Avloriach dibri akoil mutter. Legamer means that when they would finish sewing or pressing a brand new suit, le marshal, before they would go and wear it or sew or sell it, they would first go and put it over this wonderful smelling mugmar, the smelling incense, so that when a person would want to wear it for the first time or you want to mark it and sell it, it would have this beautiful aroma, beautiful scent, and you say, this really looks like a wonderful suit, and you put it on, this is gewaldig. So that's what they tended to do. So the machloikis and Amishnah, are you allowed to do this on Yontif or not? However, the riach, to have the reyach during the Suda, before the Suda, after the Suda, to have a nice ear freshener where the people are eating, that everybody agrees is butter. That's what the Gemara says at this time. The Gemara is going to change its mind in another few lines. But that's what the Gemara is learning. Now that the Machloikis is the Gabri finishing off the new Kalim, new Begodim, but L'Riach, everybody agrees is Mut. Frank my Meisre. Hey, Mechav the Meisre is Biyontif. You're not allowed to go and sweep the floors of the dining room because of the problem of Ashvuye Gumois and Bone. So based on Gamliel, Mechav the like it says in our Mishnah, that they were Mekel, and they said you are allowed to. Omer Blozer Tzadik, here it says Omer Blozer Tzadik, but it's a mistake. It's Omer Blozer Tzadik. Pa'omim Harbe, Nechnasti Acher Abba, Lebeisam Gamliel. I used to go together with my father, Reb Tzadik. We went to Ram Gamliel's house. It's not true. They didn't go and sweep the dining room. Eli, you know what they did? Mechabdin Oysami Erev Yontif. Erev Yontif, they used to go and sweep it very, very thoroughly. Uparson Lehem Sadinen, and then they would go and put out on the floor like rugs or carpets or sheets. And then Lamachan, the next day, Kishorchel Nichnasim, when the guests would arrive, Mesalka Sadinen, they took the rugs away, the mats away. Venim Tabayz Meskaben Meilav, and everything was nicely, beautifully swept, as if it was swept today. But the sweeping didn't take place today. It took place Erev Yatav. Amr Loyim, okay, Happy Shabbos Mutalasis, okay. You don't need a heter for that. That's not a special kula for Yontif, even for Shabbos. If you covered it up, and then you remove the sheet, the mat, on Shabbos morning, there's no issue. That's fine. Next case. You can't go put the mugmer on Yontif. That's this incense that it should have a beautiful scent. They did. Again, Amr Blazer of Tzadik. They didn't do that. Elamevian are the skoisho barzel. Are the skoisho like boxes made out of metal? Umaashan oisami Erev Yontif. They would go and burn the incense from Erev Yontif and fill up the box with that wonderful aroma, that wonderful scent. Upoikikin nekveyan me Erev Yontif. And there were holes in this box and they would stuff up those holes to keep the smoke inside, to keep that wonderful scent inside. The next day, when the guests would arrive, then they would open up the holds, they would unstop them, and then and therefore it wasn't that they went and put the mugmer on the flame on Yontif, but rather this was done all from Erev Yontif. Even in Shabbos is permissible. So what do I see? I see that there's a machloikis whether you're allowed to go and put the mugmer for the orchim, for coming in to eat, having nothing to do with legameris akelim. You said when it comes to the hariach, everybody agrees that it's mutter. I see that there's a whole discussion back and forth that you do it from Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif. Are you allowed to? You're not allowed to. It's chamachloikis. And therefore says, Yimar, you're right. Itmar hachi itmar. Just the opposite of Ravasi. Machloikis lahariach. The machloikis in our Mishnah is to go and make that beautiful scent for guests for Yontif. Avlegamer, if you're doing it to finish off the kelim with this type of aroma, that according to everybody is asur, because that's not a tzorech yontif. Tzorech yontif has to be something that I'm having hano on yontif itself. I know you're going to tell me what happens if he goes and puts on the suit on yontif itself. He's not putting on the suit yet. At this moment, we're just fixing the suit and finishing it off and putting it on the in the closet to be worn on at some future time. Here, however, talking about making the reyach at this very moment, oh, that's already machlokes. According to those that are matir, just like you're allowed to cook and put bisra agumri, you're allowed to go and take a piece of flesh, a piece of meat, a shoulder steak, a rib steak, you can go and put it out on the coals. So here you're putting incense on the coals. It's also similar to ochel nefesh. People have a no, they smell it. Ah, it's so fragrant, what a wonderful scent. Why the chum aser? Says Rashi, because although you're allowed to do things which are tzorech, even if they're not fully tzorech ochel nefesh, but tzorech yontif, it's got to be tzorech kol nefesh, adov rashav lechol nefesh, that everybody enjoys this type of air freshener. But if it's only the aristocracy, the nobility, the mifunakim that have anah, if all the other people say, come on, you're just wasting money, come on, don't be so spendy, don't be so spend whatever, but go and save your funds in the bank, so then this is not a davar shavuot chol nefesh, and that's why that other man, the Yama, holds that it is asur. We'll stop over here by Yibaylu Mal Ashen, because that starts a new sugya. Any questions, Rabbi Sai?
Tomorrow morning, 7 a.m.
7 a.m. Yet Hashem, as sharp as possible. Please try to come 7 o'clock so we can start on time, because our minyan starts over here at 8 o'clock, and I think before an ulta starts at 8 o'clock. So let's try to finish before 8, if at all possible, so we can all get to our minyanim on time. Have a great.
I'll see you at the 8 o'clock minyan. I hope.
I'm sorry.
I will do my best.
Yes, thank you. Sorry, I was a little late. I was coming in from New Jersey. Had a lot of.
Well, we left you a message. You'll pick up your message.
Yes, I got that. It was very thoughtful of you. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Oh, David, a good night to you. And the other David, to both Davids, good night to both of you. And, of course, to Barry and to Brother Shai and to our listening audience, a good night and a good yard and all the very best.
Good night. See you tomorrow. Thank you.
Yeah, it's Hashem. 7 o'clock tomorrow morning. Zagabench. Kol tov hatzlacha. Bye-bye.